course. Not play, like, skate. Like, do. Okay. Ready?
So why not open up and call his name, O Lord? Fire your spirit where his grace has been outpoured. Call his name, taste his grace, exercise before his face. He's longing and yearning, he's hoping and waiting. He's ever desiring for you to turn to him.
Thank you. Turn to you right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, we're here.
Amen.
It's 1162, I think, in the blue book.
Thank you. First we'll pray two by two with the ones around us. But then we hope that a few will take the lead. Doesn't matter, younger, older. We need some to pray that for this first session. You know, it's so good that the Lord called us back together again. Here we are again. How many of you were here in Penuel last March? Last March, a year ago, you were here. Oh, I hope, seems like you enjoyed because you came back. How many of you, it's your first time in Penuel? First time, any first time? Welcome. Welcome, very good, very good, very good. So let's pray. Let's pray, let's pray. Let's pray two by two or three by three with the ones around us for about 1 minute, and then we'll have some prayers out loud.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you we can be together this weekend.
Amen.
We give this whole conference to you.
Amen.
Pray you would enlighten the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
We want to see you again.
Amen.
Thank you for Penuel.
Amen.
Lord, we like to be face-to-face with God.
Amen.
We want to see you in this time.
Amen.
So we pray for our hearts.
Amen.
Pray for our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we would be so open.
Amen.
Open to you.
Amen.
Exercised.
Amen.
Oh, to see you. Amen. See something of what you are doing.
Amen.
Oh, we give this whole weekend to you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you all have a booklet for the weekend. Let's read the title on the cover of our booklet. Title of the conference. Go. God's Word and God's Move. This is a very precious title, and we're going to see a lot about this over the weekend, but I just like, as a little introduction, to kind of touch these 2 points. God has a move. You might want to write this down. God has a move, and He has a move in every generation. And before He moves, He speaks. His word causes Him or allows Him to move. Maybe we could look at it this way. Our God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do whatever he likes to do. But it's very interesting that in his plan, in his purpose, he's chosen not to do it by himself. He has somewhat limited himself to man. So he speaks to us, and we respond to him, we cooperate with him, we coordinate with him so that he can move. It's very, very interesting. I would say he doesn't really need us, but he will not move without us. That's the truth. We may think that he doesn't need us, but because he's chosen to only move in and through man, he does need us. He needs us to cooperate with him. This is the principle of incarnation. I think we all, probably everyone here knows that one day God became a man, right? He incarnated and became the man Jesus Christ. And he lived. He was born of a human mother, of a virgin. He was born just like you and I, and he lived a normal human life, like you and I, yet without sin. A very important distinction. But anyway, he lived a human life. He was a child obeying his parents. He was a teenager with them, just like we are. You are teenagers, and I was once a teenager, believe it or not. He lived a normal human life. So he's able to sympathize with us. But that set a principle, the principle of incarnation. If you wanted to know God 2,000 years ago, you had to come to this man, Jesus Christ. If you wanted to know God is love, you had to come to him and see how much he loved people. If you wanted to know how much God wanted to help those in need, whether they were sick or in sorrow or whatever, you had to come to this man, Jesus Christ. And he expressed God's mercy and compassion and love and kindness to people. He met people's need. God met people's need, but in a man, in the man, Jesus Christ, who, as we know, is a God-man, right? But it's the same today. He wants to meet your friend's need, but he can't do it alone. He needs to operate through you. He wants to preach the gospel to your classmate who hasn't heard about him, but he can't do it alone. He needs you to preach the gospel to them. He wants to comfort those who are passing through difficulty, but he can't do it alone. He needs you to reach out to them. He needs you to call them and have them over, you know, have your parents cook for them, or many ways to show them, these friends who are suffering through something, to show them God really loves them. You may not talk about God, you may not mention the Lord's name even, but by loving them in a human way, in a normal way, by caring for them, they are seeing something of God's heart toward them through you. God wants to move through you. He wants to move through you. So first of all, we need his speaking. We need his word. And we'll get into this weekend. We need to be constituted with his word. We need to dive into his word so that we can be filled with his word. You know, the Bible says the word of God is his breath. It's his breathing. Everything he wants to speak to us, everything he wants us to know about, he has breathed it out already into this book, this Bible. It's right here. And the more we get into it, the more we see his heart. The more we experience his love toward us and toward others. So we need to get into the word. And we'll get into this much more later in these outlines. But I just want to make this point. God is moving. Amen. He's moving on the earth. You know, he's moving in a big way. You know, in Germany, he wants to move in Germany. But he's moving in your school. He's moving in your town. He's moving in your family. He wants to move through you. So I hope we could see that this weekend and see that tonight. Tonight, we're just going to cover the very beginning of the first outline, and we'll finish it tomorrow morning. We're just going to cover the first two Roman numerals of this outline tonight, which I feel is a very good opening. Okay? So look at your outline, Roman numeral 1, and let's read, well, let's see. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Whenever God finds a man on earth who is one with him and whose heart is a duplication, his heart, the heavens open to him. Sisters, again. Brothers. Now, turn to page 13 in your outline. We have the first chapter of Ezekiel printed here for you. And let us read verse 1 all together. Nice and strong. Verse 1. Now, the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, while I was among the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. The heavens were open to Ezekiel. Ezekiel at this point was 30 years old, on the 30th year. And he was one of the children of Israel who had been captured by the Babylonian king and carried away from his homeland, which was Palestine, carried away from God's house, the temple, to Babylon, a place full of idolatry. He was there for a number of years, and when he was 30, he probably was there before he was 30, maybe 4 or 5 years. When he was 30, what happened? When he was with the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were open to him. And we hope the heavens would be open to you all this weekend. Amen. And this first point says, whenever God finds a person, a man on earth, who is one with him, and whose heart is a duplication of his heart, who has the same desire that God has, the same heart that God has, what does God do? He opens the heavens to them. And our burden tonight is that he would open the heavens to you. It has to do with your heart. I think all of us are one with the Lord. We're one with God. But we need an open heart. We need to allow the Lord to duplicate his heart in our heart. You know, God's desire is that all men would be saved. And you have friends that need to be saved. If your heart is that they would get saved, then that means your heart is a duplication of God's heart. And he can open the heavens to you. This is not the only time this happened. When the Lord Jesus was 30 years old, he was baptized, and the heavens were opened to him. Now, surely, his heart is one with the Father's heart. We know that, right? So the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit as a dove descending to anoint him. And he went at his baptism, and the Father spoke from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight. I am well pleased with him." The heavens were opened. And not only to the Lord Jesus were the heavens opened. Several times in the Bible, in chapter 7 of Acts, Stephen, one of the disciples, who was a serving one, and helping the elderly saints in the church there, serving them. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, strong in the Spirit, and full of the Word, and preaching the gospel to all those around him. And the Jews stoned him to death. He was martyred because of what they spoke about the Lord Jesus and how the Jews had beat him and killed him. But now he has ascended, and he is Lord of all. He was preaching the gospel, and they were so mad, they decided they would stone him to death. And as he was being martyred, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw, he said, I saw the Son of Man standing. You know, a few chapters before that, it says that he was ascended to the right hand of God. And there he is sitting at the right hand of God. But when Stephen saw him, he wasn't just sitting anymore. He was really interested in what was happening. And he stood up and he was looking at Stephen. Stephen saw a man on the throne.
Amen.
Looking at him. And Jesus Christ, the ascended Lord of all, right? The leader and the Savior. He saw a man on the earth who was his duplication. Who was one with him and had the same heart as he had. And what happened? Stephen, the heavens were open to him. Now, I don't know how you feel. I think when I was a teenager, I never thought the Lord could open the heavens to me. I'm just a little small potato. You know? I'm even less than a small potato. I'm just this teenage boy in the Midwest, and I love the Lord, and I was preaching my friends, and we preached the gospel, but we didn't think we were, you know. But I tell you, if you have a heart for the Lord, and your heart is open to the Lord, then He will open His heart and open the heavens to you, and you can see visions of God.
Amen.
And the fact is, you need to see visions of God. And we'll see a little later. Without a vision, we're in trouble. Without a vision, we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We need a vision to lead us, to guide us. Vision is very, very important. So the first thing is our heart. We need a proper heart. I hope tonight, even now, you can be praying, oh Lord, my heart. Maybe your heart has been cold this past month or this past week. You haven't been that open to the Lord, but that's okay. You can turn your heart right now. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? You all know the verse. The veil is taken away. So why not open up and call His name Lord Jesus, right? Turn your heart to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to see visions. This weekend I want to see You. I want to see visions of You and of Your move. I want to be one with You. Duplicate Your heart in me. These kind of prayers, the Lord loves to answer these prayers. Surely He wants to duplicate His heart. I think we should read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Why don't you get your Bibles out? We don't need to talk. Just open your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Okay. And let's read these verses together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Let's read them again. Brothers 17, sisters 18. One more time. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. Sisters.
The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling.
Let's read them one more time. Sisters 17, brothers 18. Go.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom
the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know hope of his calling. And then we didn't read the last part of 18. Let's read it together. And what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? This was Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, toward the end of this chapter. The book of Ephesians is a book on the church. And the greatest prophecy in the Bible is the Lord Jesus' prophecy, I will build my church. This is on the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart is filled with the church. He needs the church. He desires the church. And he is building his church. And Paul saw this. He had a revelation of what the Lord wanted to do. And he wrote it down. And as he was writing it down, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all on the vision, he prayed that we would see the vision. Right? He prayed that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is a very important prayer. First of all, write this down, we need a vision. And this is not something we see with our physical eyes. But we have more than these two eyes, according to this verse, right? We have the eyes of our heart. I don't know where they are. And I don't know how they operate, but there is something in our heart that the Bible says, the eyes of your heart. That means we need to see something that's invisible with our heart. We need to see something that is real, but we can't see with our physical eyes. We need to see something with our heart, with the eyes of our heart, that it would they would be enlightened, that we would know what is God's move, what is the hope of our calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, that's God's inheritance, in the saints, that we would see Christ in one another, God's inheritance in one another. So we need to pray this prayer tonight. I hope before you go to bed, you would pray this prayer, pray over these verses, either with your companions or by yourself. Keep these verses with you tonight and tomorrow and pray, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Amen. Surely he wants to do this. If you pray this with an open heart, he will show you something. You will see something. And that vision will be a vision to you that will keep you, will preserve you. You know, we actually have the Penuel song in our songbook here. When we first came here, we had a conference on how awesomely and wonderfully we were made. How many of you were in that conference? Right? We sang that song. Hope we can sing it again. We're made awesomely and wonderfully. God has created you in a wonderful way. Particularly, he has made you with a body to contact the physical world. He's made you with a soul to contact the psychological things. And your soul really is to express God. And he has made you with a human spirit. This is a marvelous part. And he has made you with a heart, which is composed of the mind, emotion, will, and your conscience. And listen, write this down. This makes you different from every other created thing. I hope that makes sense to you. It makes you different because you have, not just you have a human spirit, but because your conscience, part of your spirit, is also part of your heart, you have a heart that other creatures don't have. This morning, my wife took my youngest son to the Bronx Zoo. How many of you have been to the Bronx Zoo? It's a great zoo. And oh, he had a good time. He enjoyed seeing all the animals there, you know. But I'm driving up thinking about, we drove right by the Bronx Zoo on the way here, you know. And I was thinking about this. Those are wonderful animals, but they're nothing compared to you. They're nothing. You know, and we have a dog at home. He's cute, and we love him, and, you know, we try to take care of him. We feed him, you know, but he's just a dog. Come on. He does not have a spirit. He was not made in the image of God. He's not made to express God, but you are.
Amen.
You are. You are different from all the other created things. You are made in the image and likeness of God. And you are given dominion over those created things. You are awesomely and wonderfully made. And you know what? This should be part of our vision. We need to have a vision that we're here for something much higher than just to be, you know, a creature on earth. To get a good education, to get a job, hopefully to get married, have a family. That's wonderful. We need all of those things. But our purpose is much higher than this. You were created. You were made to express God. That makes you different from everyone else. And you know what? That is a vision. That is a vision. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you know that you have a human spirit and that God Himself in Christ lives in your spirit? Stand up. I think that's almost everyone. Listen, that is a vision. You have a vision. You know, when I was your age, I didn't know I had a human spirit. I did have a human spirit. And I was born of God. I was born again. I was regenerated. But I had no idea, no vision. I had the reality, but I never saw it. And I didn't realize I had a spirit. And so my Christian life was very frustrating. You can sit down. It was very frustrating because, you know, even though you have a spirit and God lives in your spirit, the Lord Jesus is indwelling your spirit. Amen. Write this down. You have a mingled spirit. And you cannot touch your spirit without touching God the Spirit because it's mingled. When you turn to your spirit, you are contacting God. This is a tremendous thing. I didn't know this. I had no vision. So I'm trying to figure out how to live the Christian life and here. And you know, then, and we all sin still, right? I'm not going to ask you to stand up if you still sin, because I know the answer to that, right? We all still sin. And when I would sin, I didn't know what to do. I would just be condemned and I would, you know, feel terrible and I, you know, just kind of mope around for a few weeks until finally, somehow, I prayed and opened myself to the Lord. And then the blood cleanses us. The Lord forgives us when we confess, right? But I didn't know that. Until when I came to the Lord's recovery, I started to see it in the Word, and I started to see it in the saints. And what happened? I got a vision. I got a vision. If you have a vision of your human spirit, listen, write this down. You will not live the same way that you did before you had that vision. That vision will restrict you. It will limit you. And you won't be able to do all the things you used to do in your flesh. Because why? Because you have a human spirit mingled with God. And you know how to contact Him. And when you try to do some things, you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel peaceful. And so you don't do them. That is the experience of the vision. It's a part of the vision. So, on the one hand, we're encouraging you. You need to pray, Lord, open the eye, you know, enlighten the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. But I also want to tell you, you have seen something. The problem is, we don't live by this vision. And that's what we need to do. We need to live by this vision. We need to practice what we've seen. We need to exercise to touch the Lord morning by morning, day by day, and to live by this life of God in our spirit. That is to practice the vision that we have seen. Now, let's look at A and B under one. Brothers A, sisters read B. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Sisters. Babylon was such a place. Satan was operating there among all the idolatry to collect people to rebel against God. It was a very negative environment. And he was there by this river, and the footnote mentions this. The river Chebar equals or signifies the power of Babylon to damage God's people, to carry them away from God, and destroy the building of God. Did you get that? The river Chebar, the power of Babylon to damage God's people and carry them away from God and destroy the building of God. Do you live by the river Chebar? Anybody live by the river Chebar? Yes or no? Yes. Isn't the river Chebar your high school? Isn't that a river to carry people away from God? Isn't your environment, the environment we live in today, isn't that a place that tries to destroy the building of God? When I read this footnote today, I realized we're all living by the river Chebar. The world is the river Chebar. This is Satan's realm. The earth is, you know, we're praying for the Lord to bring His kingdom to the earth. But right now, Satan has a lot to say about what goes on here. Right? Carrying people away. Even our friends sometimes try to carry us away. We are living in this kind of an environment. But listen, in the midst of that environment, a terrible environment, the visions, he didn't see visions in the temple. You know, years before then, he saw visions in that environment because he was crying out, Lord, what are we doing here? We're in Babylon. I'm by this river. And the heavens were open. So, this is an important point. Write this down. Your environment does not affect the fact that you still can see visions of God. You can open your heart in the midst of a terrible environment, and you can still see visions of God. And you don't have to be carried away. And you don't have to be in that river that's destroying the building. In the middle of that, you can be there standing for the Lord's move. You can be open to His word and even speaking His word to others. That's what Ezekiel did. He was not well liked. You'll probably hear more about this. He was not that popular among the other children of Israel. Because why? He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of God. And we need to do the same. Okay. Now, Romans 2. And this is the second point. We'll just take 10 minutes on this and we'll be finished. Let's read Romans 2 together. The most important matter for a person who serves the Lord is that he must see visions of God. Acts 26:19. Paul was testifying to King Agrippa. Let me read that to you. And he said, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And let me read a little bit from Ephesians 3. Paul wrote, Ephesians 3:3. I'm reading 3 through 5, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief. by which in reading it you can perceive my understanding and the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. And the rest of this chapter is describing more about the mystery of Christ. In other words, Paul received this by revelation. He saw visions of God, and then he wrote down what he saw so that you and I can read it, and we can see the same thing. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. This is Ezekiel's saw something, and then it said he got an express word from God. He not only saw visions, he got God's express word. God spoke to him, and then he spoke what God spoke to him. And God spoke to Paul. He had a vision. God spoke to him, and then he wrote and spoke what God had spoken to him. He wrote down and spoke that so that we could receive it. We could have visions of God. Now, the first verse on our outline is Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to read that to you. If you have your Old Testament, you want to open it, that's fine. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Okay, let me read it to you. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. This can be translated several ways. Where there is no vision, the people run wild. Or another translation, where there is no vision, the people perish. This means that vision governs us. If we don't have a vision, we don't know which way we're going. We're just running wild. Vision restricts us. If we don't have a vision, there's no restriction, no restraint. We just do whatever we want to do. This is under letter 2, C. Let's read C together. Visions of God govern us, restrict us, control us, preserve us, revolutionize us, and give us the boldness. You need to underline these phrases, right? The visions of God govern us, restrict us, control us. I love this next one. Preserve us. If we have a vision of God's move and what He's doing, we get preserved from all the damage in the world. Revolutionize us and give us the boldness to go on. I'm going to add one more. And keep us in the genuine one accord, in the oneness. Vision keeps us in the oneness. This is how crucial vision is. The Roman numeral says the most important matter for a person who serves the Lord is that he must see visions of God. Brothers and sisters, I know you all love the Lord and you want to serve Him. Well, the most important matter is not technique, how to serve, how to shepherd people, how to preach the gospel. The most important matter is that every one of us would see visions of God. We need a controlling vision, a regulating vision, a vision that restricts us from running wild, a vision that limits us and controls us, that we would have a way to go on, and that we would know which way to go on, to preserve us from going off into the world, from getting distracted by so many other things. We need a vision to control us. That's the most important thing for a person who serves the Lord. Okay, let's read A, B, and then D together. Brothers A, in the Bible, visions denote an extraordinary scene. It refers to a special kind of seeing, a glorious inward seeing, and to the spiritual scenery that we see from God. Sisters B.
In order to see a vision, we need
This is from Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. We need revelation, light, and sight. These three things. All together on D. God wanted Ezekiel not only to behold, but also to hear with his ears. Hence, he gave him his words along with his visions. God's words, his explanations of his visions. We need to have an express word. Not only he saw something with his eyes and with the eyes of his heart, but God spoke to him. He also heard the Lord speaking with his ears, an express word. And this word was the explanation of what he saw. And we're going to get into this vision of Ezekiel in chapter 1 this weekend. And there's something very particular there in this vision. And we want to hear the Lord speaking to explain that to us. But all of these matters that Ezekiel saw are very much related to our Christian life and to our daily life. You know, we sang this hymn, 1162, right? And the first verse says, we found the secret of living. Then the next phrase is, we've seen the vision divine. We are of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, abiding in the vine. Amen. This is a divine vision. To realize you are abiding in Christ. And the second verse says, we don't need to struggle to get in. We're already in him. Amen. When we got saved, we've been put into Christ. And he was put into you. So you are abiding in him. And you can abide in him. This is a divine vision. Now, how can we practice this? We need to learn to practice this in our daily life. To abide in him. To allow him to, you know, when we're making decisions, we make decisions all day long. Check with him. Check with him in your spirit. How do you feel, Lord? What should I do now? What should I do next? Apply that vision in your daily life to experience the Lord. That will control you. That will limit you. That will restrict you. And you will be living by this vision. We are on the earth to express the Lord. Actually, we're here also to exercise his dominion, right? Exercise and to overcome the enemy in our daily life and in our school. You know, when you preach the gospel to your friend, you are binding Satan. When they believe, they get saved. They get transferred out of death into life. What is that? That's dominion. That is dominion. You pray, Lord, bind the enemy. Save my friend. That's dominion. And when you ask, you know, the best way to preach the gospel to someone is don't ask them. Just say, okay, pray with me. We want to receive the Lord Jesus. Just command them. Pray with me, right? Yes. Well, that's the best way. You're not forcing them. They're not even, you know, don't worry about that. You're not going to force anybody. Everyone has a free will. You're just encouraging them. And exercising dominion over the demons, which are saying, nah, you don't want to get saved, you don't want to get saved. When you say, pray with me, that shuts the devil's mouth. You have the dominion. That's part of this vision. Amen. We need to practice what we've seen and live according to this vision. Well, time is up, so amen. How about you pray with your neighbor and then the brothers will tell us what we should do next.
Amen. It's so good to be here.
Amen.
Camp Penuel,
Amen.
Where we get to see God face to face.
Amen.
I think it would be very good for all of us tonight before we doze off in our sleep to pray these kind of prayers, right? I was so touched even the first session to see that we are a special species,
Amen.
Created with a purpose,
Amen.
Right? But for us to see such a vision of how we could be one with God and His purpose, we need to be the right person. And it has everything to do with our heart. So I hope all of us, we would turn. We would pray, Lord, I turn my heart to You.
Amen.
Lord, this weekend I want to see You.
Amen.
I don't want just the time to go by and not see such a vision. We could pray these kind of prayers, and I hope we would pray even tonight to have the heart to see the vision of God. I have a few announcements, and so bear with these announcements. They are very important. So the first thing we can do is, how about we turn to the back? On the back of your pamphlet, there is page 14, there is a schedule, and then in the back of your pamphlet, there's a map, okay? So you might need that as I make these announcements. Okay, you don't need to do any talking. This is not group discussion. Just listen. The first thing is all of you should have registered. Maybe some of you came a little later, so you weren't able to. So before you leave, you need to register and talk to the registration sisters because all of us should have, okay, right here, a lanyard that has your name tag. And then with that contains crucial information. It tells you where you're staying. And so if you look at the map, especially if you're here for the first time, you might not know the layout of where all the cabins and townhouses are. And so just look at your name tag, where you're staying, and then find the building. I think the majority of us, we've been here, so if you're having trouble, just ask around, okay? Regarding the schedule, if you notice that we want everyone to be back in the cabins by 10 o'clock, okay? And then at that time, there will be some direction given by the serving ones. We're going to have a little cabin time, even tonight at the first cabin time. And then lights out will be at 10:45. Okay, so since some places, you know, you might have one shower or two showers and there are, you know, 6-12 other people living in the same room. Some rooms might be larger. And so we want to do our best, right? You need to take control of just plan out, you know, who's taking the shower. Don't you know, everybody's excited to see one another. You want to talk, chit-chat. But make sure, right, the shower is being used because we want to keep the schedule as best as we can. Because tomorrow morning, you'll notice, the serving ones will have a time to pray and fellowship here at 6:30, but for all of us, you need to be up and ready by 7:30. We're going to contact the Lord, pray together in the cabins to touch Him in the morning. And so, you know, for you to be up at that time, we want to go to bed early. Okay? Now, regarding bathrooms, so we needed to make a last-minute adjustment, and so this is all on the brother's side. So sisters, just bear with me. On the brothers, for those who are living in building D, you will need to, if you need to take showers, you could use townhouse 16, 15, 14, and 13. So these are the townhouses are, when you exit the building, it's to your left. Okay, those are the townhouses that are closest to you. Now listen, you cannot go any further past 13, like 12 to 1 are all sisters. So brothers, only 16, 15, 14, and 13. For the brothers who are assigned to building A upstairs, okay, so that's, you go through the stairs, you go upstairs. There are about 20 of you. You could use the bathrooms, the showers in Building B. Okay, so this was just recently finished. And so what you would do, when you're looking at Building B, actually the lights are on. You just walk around the building and the entrance. You go up some steps and the entrance you'll find to your right. Okay, so you could use the bathrooms there if you're upstairs. For the brothers who are staying in Gethsemane, that's downstairs. You go through those that door, you go downstairs, make a left, and the first room on the right. Okay, you could use the bathrooms either downstairs, but of course you'll share that with all the other brothers that are assigned to downstairs. Or if the line is too long, you could go out this building and go to the bathrooms in Building B. Okay, and that would alleviate the congestion. Okay. I think that's all the announcements that we have for the young people. So there are snacks prepared. So at this time, listen. You can exit. So for those who need to register, please first register before you get your snack. But the snacks will be in the cafeteria. Okay, so you could either use that door over there with the under the exit sign. The serving ones, college students, please stay behind. We have some fellowship with you all. So the young people only, you could exit now. And the serving ones, if you don't mind, coming up towards the front.